river to pray. Church, I went down to the river to pray. Oh, I felt so good that I stayed all day, and all my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed, and that's not all, and that's not all. There's more besides, there's more besides, and that's not all. Church, there's more besides, and that's not all. There's more besides. Oh, I've been to the river and I've been baptized, and all my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. So you can talk about me, you can talk about me as much as you please, as much as you please. Oh, you can talk about me as much as you please. You can talk about me as much as you please, for I talk about you when I'm on my knees, and all my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Oh, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the church. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I am, and all my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Now Satan's mad, now Satan's mad, and I am glad, and I am glad. Now Satan's mad, church, yes, and I am glad. Now Satan's mad, and I am glad, for he lost that soul that he thought he had, and all my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Amen, church. Brother, please come and introduce our speaker for tonight.
Good singing, very good singing. If I didn't see you this evening, brother, you would have been in this fellowship. It's good to have everyone here again tonight. And we had a wonderful time last night. But not just a wonderful time, we learned a lot. We learned a lot about hell, a lot about salvation, a lot about God. Dr. Jeremy Flowers from the United States is with us. He and his wife are with us. And they are doing a wonderful job. And we really appreciate them. Brother Dr. Flowers has been preaching now for over 20 years. And we saw that experience last night. And we are looking forward to much more from him again tonight. Brother Flowers, in your own way, we're going to ask that you come forward now. Yes. In your own way, to come forward and to deliver to us the word of God. Brother Flowers.
And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. How blessed are we to be the people of God in the place of God, to learn yet again of the promises of God, so one day we can live in perpetuity with God forevermore by and by. As always, I am truly glad and honored to be able to stand before you and present again a portion of God's holy word. If perchance you're visiting, we want you to know that you are our honored guest, and prayerfully something will be said tonight which will make you ask the question in your mind of mind and heart of hearts, what must I do to be saved? Again, we're thankful to the Patrick City, Patrick Gardens Church for the invitation. Thankful to the leadership and the membership. Always thankful to that great gospel preacher, Brother Carl Mitchell, for what he means to this island, what he means to this church, and what he means to our international brotherhood. Thankful for all of our sister congregations. Good to see so many people that I've met over the last 4 or 5 years. It's so good that you're here tonight and that you're here for the participation but also support of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And then, of course, I have to mention my ruby, my diamond, and my sunshine. If you were here yesterday, you know I brought my wife with me this time. So I'm having all kind of fun under the Jamaican sun. Say amen. I was thinking of ways to introduce her tonight. I just remember when Stevie Wonder, I asked the question, isn't she lovely? Oh, she's certainly lovely. I'm just so glad to have her. There's no better way to get brownie points with your wife than to bring her to Jamaica. Say amen when you can. We're just so blessed to be with you. I want to say a word tonight. I want to be more practical, if that's all right. I don't want to be long, but I do want to be strong. I don't want to be eternal, but I want to be impactful. Meet me in the familiar text, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We'll begin at verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. When you find yourself there, let's be standing for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Mark chapter number 4, beginning there at verse number 35. When there, the Bible reads as such. That day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus just along as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. The Bible says, a furious squall came up as to where the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped and or full. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Then Jesus got up, rebuked the winds, and said to the waves, "Quiet and or peace, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. If you have some time this evening, I want to speak from the thought, somebody ought to wake up Jesus. Somebody ought to wake up Jesus. Subtopic, the anatomy, the actuality, and the necessity of a storm. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear beloved, kind and gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what was, what is, and what will be as long as we continue to stay faithful. Father, this time, bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, open their minds, their hearts, their spirits, their souls, and yes, even their ears to hear a word coming straight from you via your manservant. Your manservant is nothing without you. Father, I am a sinner, so I ask now and beg you to forgive me of my own sins. Now upon my repentative heart, Father, speak to me and speak through me. Allow me now as dirt to speak to dirt so we can all clean up our dirty ways. Father, bless the word. Father, bless your servant. Father, bless us all as your children. All these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Somebody ought to wake up Jesus. The anatomy, actuality, and necessity of a storm. As we look here at the fourth chapter of the biographical gospel penned by John Mark, we begin by seeing Jesus the Christ in a series of lectures preaching off the shore of the city of Capernaum to the legions of followers who have come to hear the unadulterated word of the Lord. It was after a great day of teaching where he taught to the common man off the shores of the Sea of Galilee via a boat that he would now teach a more intimate lesson to his chosen few disciples also there on the Sea of Galilee. But now he will not be teaching from a boat, but rather now he will teach in a boat. And it would be from the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Tiberias that Jesus will now use the same classroom, the Sea of Galilee. But now he'll teach a much different lesson. The Bible begins in Mark chapter 4, verse number 35, by saying, that day when evening had come. The phrase, when evening had come, culminates a long day of teaching. This day of teaching began in Mark chapter 3, verse number 23. This teaching of Jesus, this daily curriculum of the Christ, it covered a multiplicity of things. It covered Jesus and his relationship with his mother and his brothers. When they said, your mother and your brothers are looking for you, and Jesus said, who is my mother and who are my brothers but those who do what? The will of my Father. This teaching, this daily curriculum covered the necessity of letting one's light shine. And in an agricultural parabolic twist, Jesus covers the grower and the growing seed, the mustard seed and the mustard plant. And then after all of this fundamental teaching to the people on the shore, then they set out on a journey in the evening time. Remember that it is currently the evening time. And Jesus then says to his disciples then and to us now, let us go over to the other side. I've come to Kingston tonight to tell somebody that there is another side. When Jesus says, let us go over to the other side, there are two different applications at work in the text. The first is on the surface and superficially, Jesus is speaking to this particular textual audience. And he's talking about crossing literally to the other side of the Sea of Galilee because Jesus wanted some rest from his recent series of teaching. Also, there's more ministry that has to take place in Mark chapter 5, especially dealing with a man named Legion and the region of the Gerasenes. But also, listen closely, there is another application at work when Jesus says, let us go over to the other side. Jesus is also speaking to us today, and he's speaking to us tonight because he's trying to help us understand something. That we're all going to have to take a journey to the other side. And as a disciple, as a true believer in Christ, this journey that we're on, it has a beginning and it has an ending. But in order for us to come from where we are now to where he wants us to be, we are all going to have to eventually cross over to the other side. And I'm here to tell you, that as we cross over to the other side, as we go through this wilderness called life, as we go through this journey of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, there will be some lessons that we're going to have to learn. There'll be some storms we're going to have to endure. There'll be some devils that we're going to have to wrestle. There'll have to be some bad days that we're going to have to live through. We're going to have to do all of these things just so that we can make it to the other side. But I'm here to tell you, just like in this text, everybody, as you go through this Christian life, you're going to have to face some storms. Am I in the house tonight? You're going to have to face some storms. Are there storms in Jamaica? Do the Yardies have storms? Ah, the Yard Man. I'm trying to learn some patois. Are there storms in life? Storms are all across the landscape of life. So as to strengthen and assure our position in the afterlife, Jesus allows us to have storms in this life. Don't you know that your storms are only to make you stronger? That's why you go through things that don't nobody else go through. Because God knows what you're going through would have killed them. I wish I had an amen under this tent. Storms are all across the landscape of life. It's to strengthen and assure our position as to the afterlife. And can I tell you something? Storms don't stop until they are settled. And no storm is ever settled until it's stilled by the Savior. The problem is all too often we want to quit in storms instead of calling out to the one who can quiet the storm. And if we don't eye him, in the midst of our storms, then we may face a temporal and or superficial eye of the storm. Have you ever seen and dealt with and studied hurricanes? How hurricanes are fierce, but then in the midst of a hurricane, there's an eye. And everything seems copacetic in the eye. Everything seems clear in the eye. You think the storm is over in the eye. But then the backside of the storm comes. See, the fact of the matter is, when we go through storms, everybody in here needs the Savior. Because can't nobody steal a storm in your life like Jesus the Christ. And just because you think that things are getting better, if you don't have Jesus, it'll never get better because you never eyed him in regards to your storm. You think things are better, but that's just the eye of the storm. There's another storm coming, but if you don't have Jesus in your life, the storms of life can kill you. Understand, in our storms, if God is not invited to participate, then the storms of life will never dissipate. What are you telling us, Jeremy? I'm trying to tell you, if it starts raining proverbially in your adolescence and that storm is not then settled by the Savior, then the thunder heard in your adolescence will manifest itself as lightning in your adulthood. That's why you're going through things at 66, the same things you were going through at 16, because you never invited God into your situation. You never invited God into your problem. You tried to handle it all by yourself, and you see how that's working out. Am I in the house on tonight? If you struggle on one job and you don't seek Jesus, you'll struggle on the next job. If you struggle in one marriage or one relationship, and you don't consult Jesus, you'll struggle in the next marriage and the next relationship. If your finances are difficult one month and you don't consult Jesus that month, next month you'll still have difficulty. What are you trying to teach us, Jeremy? Somebody ought to learn how to wake up Jesus in the midst of the storms and the difficulties of life. Because I'm here to tell you, you can walk right, talk right, sing right, pray right on the battlefield, but you're still going to have storms in your life. And on your way to heaven, you're going to have to go through some hell. Without Jesus, you will not last. Somebody needs to wake up Jesus. He is, in fact, with you. He's still in the boat. Wake up Jesus. Transfer power to Jesus. And then trust Jesus. And then stand in the storm with Jesus, knowing that Jesus is the peace and the steel in the storm, regardless of what the storm is. I don't know what's going on right now in your life, but there's something going on in your life. Something came with you tonight under this tent. Something has you depressed. Something has you stressed. Something has you worried. Something has you perplexed. But I'm here to tell you on tonight that everything in your life can be changed right now with a word from the Lord. Any storm, any situation, any stress, any uncertainty, anything that keeps you up at night, anything that makes you cry can be solved with a word from the Lord. The problem is a lot of us won't wake up Jesus so he can say that word. And if we go and wake him up, we don't trust him enough to then do what we know he can do. A word from the Lord will put broken pieces, broken places, and broken people back together again. Somebody here tonight, whether a visitor or a member, needs to hear a word from the Lord. Verse number 36. Leaving the crowd behind just as he was, they took Jesus along in the boat. Meaning what? They took him straight away on the journey. Understand, when we talk about Jesus crossing over to the other side, there was no great deal of preparation. There was not a stockpile of supplies. There was no travel manifest submitted. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And they went straight away across the Sea of Galilee. Can I tell you something, Kingston? In life, the time for storm preparation is not when we are in fact in the storm, but rather when we're in the storm, there's no longer any time to prepare for the storm. What are you trying to say? When things are going right, somebody ought to thank God in that season. Well, Jeremy, right now I'm not seemingly going through a storm. Right now everything's going right in my life. Then pray. Well, Jeremy, I can finally see God moving in this season. Then pray. Well, Jeremy, my family is finally getting along. My children are well behaved. My health is in fact improving. Then pray. Understanding this Christian journey, we must stay prayed up because Satan never lets up. Am I talking to some real believers in here? We must stay prayed up because Satan never lets up. In this life, there seems to be one storm after another because Satan's never a wearied opponent. When Satan tests you and tempts you and he loses, he doesn't then give up. He just changes his attack. Am I talking to somebody tonight who's been attacked from every side? That's why you say things like, if it's not one thing, then it's another. Satan lost yesterday. He doesn't give up. He comes another way on tomorrow. He's always changing his attack. Satan always changes the storm. But I'm so glad that even when Satan changes the storm, that it's God himself who ultimately controls the weather. Satan comes this way and that way, but God can meet him in every way. I'm so glad that Satan says, if this doesn't work and if that doesn't work, and God says, look here, if you come to me, I'll take this and that and I'll work all things together. Satan thought he had you. I'll take your setback and make it your comeback. That's the type of God that we serve. Can I tell you something? Christian maturity helps us understand that it's not God's goal for us to become storm-proof, but rather he wants us to eventually learn how and when to use the umbrella. See, when we become mature, we stop saying, God, don't put me in no storms. We start saying, Lord, give me the strength to endure it. We stop saying, Lord, move the mountain. And we start saying, Lord, give me the strength to climb it. See, the fact of the matter is, if you're a Christian, it does not mean that your life will be storm-proof. It just means that now you have an umbrella, and his name is Jesus the Christ. I'm here to tell you, somebody's saying, well, I want to get baptized. I want to give my life to God on tonight. But what's going to change in my life? Will everything automatically get better? No. That's the reality. And sometimes we sell people a wooden nickel because they think that when they get baptized, everything's going to change. And 2 weeks later, when they still have problems, they then doubt their relationship with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here to sell you any wooden nickels. The truth of the matter is, problems will still happen. Storms will still happen. And there are at least 200 folk under this tent who can say amen. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you won't have a bad day, won't mean you won't have a bad time, doesn't mean you won't say any bad words. But now as I go through the storms of life, I have an umbrella. His name is Jesus. He goes with me. He protects me. He directs me. And he never neglects me. I feel so bad for people who have to walk through the same rain of life and they don't have an umbrella. I feel bad for people who have to walk through the storm but they don't have an umbrella. I'm here tonight for somebody who's visiting who needs to make the decision to become a member of the body of Christ. I'm here tonight to give you an umbrella. I'm here tonight to show you an umbrella. I'm here tonight to tell you why you need an umbrella. I'm here tonight to tell you that you have to get to the point in your life to where you'll wake up Jesus and understand the anatomy, the actuality, and the necessity of a storm. Never, child of God, never get satisfied or complacent when the devil is not currently operating in your life. But stay steadied up. Stay prayed up. Why? Because another day will come. If he's not bothering you today, he might in fact bother you tomorrow. As the text says, your evening will come. And Satan will eventually refine his attack to the confines of your carnality. Because everybody in here got a carnality. Everybody in here got a flesh problem. Everybody in here has a sin of choice. I wish I had a true church in Kingston. Yeah, see, you'll say, that ain't my problem. You're right, it ain't your problem. But there's another problem that you got. And if Satan comes to you just the right way, if he comes within the confines of your carnality, you'll feel a storm brewing in your life. Am I talking to anybody who's ever been in trouble? Can I tell you something about trouble? You don't have to trouble trouble for trouble to trouble you. Satan never gives up. So now Jesus, who's already had class with them on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, is now about to take them to school in the middle of the sea. You got time for this? Verse 37, the Bible says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped and or full. A furious squall. When we look at this text synoptically, Matthew would say a furious squall did come up, and it came up without warning. Isn't that like how storms come in your life? Isn't that how sin comes in your life? It seems to come without warning. You never saw it coming. Everything seemed to be going good. Now everything seems to be going badly. A furious squall came up. Squall here speaks of a storm. That's a sudden, mighty, turbulent burst of wind, which is often accompanied by rain. This is a type of storm that we're talking about in the life of the text and the life of the believer. I need you to see the Sea of Galilee, which is also the Sea of Tiberias, which is also Lake of Gennesaret. They're all the same thing. I need you to see the Sea of Galilee. It's a freshwater lake that's 8 miles wide. This 8-mile freshwater lake is surrounded by mountains. Mountains on the north, mountains on the east, mountains on the west. Now, the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee itself, is a sea that begins below sea level. As a matter of fact, it's 690 feet below sea level. The mountains on the north side, the east side, and the west side are 3,000 to 4,000 feet high. Oh, if I had time, I would share with you the geography of the text, the topography of the text, the climatology of the text, and the meteorology of the text. You got time for that? There's something to understand about the Sea of Galilee. We always hear about the storms, but I need you to see these storms as it deals with yourself. See, this 8-mile freshwater lake, now at its base below sea level, endures a tropical environment. It is theorized that even bananas have the propensity to grow at the base of the Sea of Galilee. But at the top of the mountain ranges, 3,000 to 4,000 feet high, there's snow up there. So what would happen, let's go back to fifth grade science, is the wind would come from the south side where there is no mountain. But the problem is, since there are mountains on the north side, the east side, and the west side, the wind and the storm has nowhere to go. So therefore, the storm becomes fierce. But the storm is ever so brief because the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, is only 8 miles wide. So no matter how rough the storm gets, it can only last so long. But as the wind comes from the south side, begins at its base, that is below sea level, that has tropical conditions, you already know that warm air does what? Rises. But then there's cold air on the north side, east side, and west side, where snow happens, and we know that cool air falls. So that as warm air rises and cool air falls, we have a storm that's subsequent from a wind, but the storm has nowhere to go. That's what's happening in this text. Can I tell you something? Storms, no matter how rough they are in your life, they never last that long. And sometimes we make lifelong decisions on the premise of momentary storms. Am I in the house on tonight? Y'all like this practical word on tonight? Sometimes we make lifelong decisions on the premise of momentary storms. And sometimes we even plan so much for the storm, and then we're surprised the storm is not as bad as we thought. So now, what has happened here is the storm is fierce. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And now it's one thing for the storm to be outside the boat, but now there are waves coming inside the boat. There's a season of panic happening. And this had to be a storm for real, because Peter, Andrew, James, and John are fishermen, and they're getting nervous. They spent their life on the Sea of Galilee, and they're saying, man, this is a storm like we've never seen before. I wish I had some honest folk in the church tonight who's faced a storm like they've never seen before. You've said, well, I've been alive and I've been a Christian. I'm 60 years old, but I'm going through something right now like I've never seen before. And now the storm that was outside the boat is starting to come inside of the boat. Can I tell you something, child of God? Sometimes in your life, the storm that used to be outside, God will allow it to come inside. Why are you allowing it to come inside? Because I need you to know who's inside with you. You ever had something in your life and it was outside? You've had financial difficulty for many years. That was a storm outside your boat. When it's time for them to evict you out of your place, now it's a storm. You've been having marital problems for many years. That was a storm outside your boat. When the time comes and your spouse says, I want a divorce, now it's a storm in your boat. Your child has struggled with their behavior for many years. You've been up and down to the school. You've cried at night and prayed at night. It was a storm that you had outside of your boat. But when the police pick him up, when his face is in the paper, now it's a storm inside of your boat. You've had health difficulties. You don't know why that you're having problems with your health. The doctor says, come and do some tests. You come to church and say, I need prayer for a test that I'm having. That's a storm outside of the boat. But when the doctor says, I've gotten your test back, I need you to come down to my office. That's a storm inside your boat. See, when you're sick and the tests come back negative, they tell you over the phone. When you got to come to the doctor, they got something they got to tell you face to face. The storm is now inside of the boat. The boat is becoming swamped and or full. Boats float on water. We know this. The problem is not when it's water around them. The problem is when there's water inside them. Are there going to be problems in your life? Yes. What do I do when there are problems all around me? You keep going. You were meant to float on water. But when water comes into your boat, now it's time to figure out who's really in your boat. And did you put them in your boat? Did you make the decision to accept Jesus into your life? Jesus into your mind? Jesus into your heart? Jesus into your spirit? Jesus into your soul? Jesus into your boat? It's not the time in the midst of trouble to then go find Jesus. It's the time to accept Jesus right now, so that when you go through the myriads and vicissitudes of life, he will always be there. The boat is now nearly swamped and or full. The problem is not just the water. The problem is also the boat. This is not a cruise ship. This is a small little boat. It's a fishing boat. It's an open boat. It's a row, row, row your boat. Gently down the stream. I wish I had a church here to say amen. The problem was not just the water, it was the boat. This boat, as it was constructed, was too small to survive by itself. And without the intervention of a man named Jesus, this boat would not have kept them alive. Can I tell you something? We are that boat. We are too small. We are too insignificant. We cannot face the storm by ourselves. And if we don't invite Jesus in our life, we will not survive. The storm that catches us will kill us if we don't have Jesus in our lives. So now, we have water getting into the boat. We have disciples who are perplexed and scared. And now the Bible tells us in verse number 38 that Jesus was in the stern. If you're familiar with nautical terminology, the stern is the rear of the ship. The bow is the front. Port side is left side. Starboard is right side. But the stern is the rear of the ship. A study will show you that not only was this a stern in the rear of a ship, but it was an elevated stern. And Jesus was asleep on a cushion in the elevated stern of the boat. Why is that important, Jeremy? Because he had to be in an elevated stern because the water getting in the boat would have gotten him wet. But Jesus is sleeping in a boat that's taking on water, but he himself never gets wet. He's in the same situation with you, but he's not getting wet. He's in an elevated stern. Well, Jimmy, why in the world is Jesus sleeping in the back? Why is Jesus in the back? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get in your storms, when I get in my storms, because I know I have my own storms, Jesus, as long as you want to steer from the front, then Jesus will continue to sleep in the back. Because you got this. You're in control. That's why we're going round and round in circles now. But as long as you want to steer from the front, then I will sleep in the back. Well, I feel Jesus has left me. Jesus ain't left you. But in times when he feels he is not needed, he will sit in the back and let you drive. If there's trouble or storms in your life, then somebody ought to wake up Jesus. Is anybody here tonight have storms in their life? There ain't enough folk. Anybody in here have storms in their life? Anybody never been in trouble in their lives? Anybody never cried at night? Anybody ever stayed up all night? Fact of the matter is, Jesus is still there with you. But when will you become humble enough and needy enough to wake up Jesus? Can I tell you something? It's amazing that Jesus is in the boat with these disciples. He knows what's going on. So they turn around and act like they're waking him up. Teacher, get up. Don't you care if we perish? Don't you care if we drown? They've already assumed the worst. They didn't say, look, it's hard right now. Look, we're in trouble. Look what you're going to do. He says, teacher, get up. Don't you care if we drown? Well, if you already expect the worst, then why are you waking me up? So now it shows us that we have to go to Jesus. But then we must go to Jesus with the right mindset. Lord, I'm coming to you because I know that you know the way out. I'm coming to you because I know that you alone can make things better. Don't you wake up Jesus talking about, don't you care if we drown? Well, obviously I care, and if I don't care, you might as well get ready to drown. But he wakes him up. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Notice Christ gets up and he's not worried. He ain't screaming. He ain't running. He ain't crying. Here's a question, Kingston. If Christ ain't worried about your storm, then why are you? If he ain't crying, if he ain't staying up all night, then why are you? If he's not scared, why are you? Because he's the one who's having to do something about it anyway. And if he ain't scared, if he ain't nervous, if he ain't crying, why are you? Honey, you might as well go to sleep. Because you can't solve it. You might as well, ain't nothing wrong with crying, but at some point you got to say, look here, it's in the Lord's hands. Because we can't do nothing about it anyway. They wake him up. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus says, you know what? Let me get up. Let me do something about it, Brother Mitchell. Well, Jesus, wake up, wake up, wake up. Fine. He goes, speaks to the wind and speaks to the waves. If I had time to preach like I want to, I would say God is so powerful that he can take the wet out of water and the heat out of fire. Notice, it says he speaks to the wind and the waves. He doesn't even have a conversation with them. There's no dialogue. He says it, and it happens. What's he say, Jeremy? Peace and or quiet, be still. Three words, quiet, be still. Oh, I'm so glad he was talking to the wind and the waves. No, he was also talking to the disciples. Quiet, be still. The Bible says, then the winds died down and the waves ceased. But can I tell you something? Jesus wasn't just talking to the wind and the waves. He's talking to us. You done did all this without me. Got yourself in all kind of trouble. And now you want to turn around after things that seemingly got all messed up. Jesus would say, look, I could have probably fixed your marriage 20 years ago, but you never called on me. I could have dealt with your kids 10 years ago, but you never called me. I could have dealt with your finances 8 months ago, but you never called me. How about you start calling me before you need me? Oh, this is not in my notes, but it feels good right here. Too many of us don't want a God. We want a genie. We want to rub the lamp for our three wishes. We don't go to him till we're in trouble. So now that they're in trouble, now they want to call upon God. Now they want an instant blessing. And he says, look here, quiet, be still. And they say, oh, thank goodness, the storm is over. Okay, now I dealt with it. Let me deal with you. The same words that were needed for it is also needed for you. Quiet. Be still. Well, I got a storm right now. Be quiet. Maybe I can't operate because you're talking too much. You're too worried. And you know how we do? Well, you know how I do? Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it this time. I don't know. I just might not make it this month. Things looking pretty bad. They laying people off. The job's about to close. What if I can't meet my bills? What if I can't keep my wife? What if my kids don't work out? What if I die? What if my health fails me? And God will say, be quiet. And not only that, be still. You so busy working that I can't work it out. You've done everything, but trust me. And that's why you ain't got nowhere. You got financial problems, you ain't came to me yet. You got four jobs and you still broke. Because you ain't learned how to be still. Anybody in here ever tried to outrun God? And outrunning God is like running on a treadmill. You're running fast, but you ain't getting nowhere. Quiet! Be still. The wind died down and it's completely calm. The story you thought was over, but it's not. Verse 40. You got a moment? In verse 40, the Bible says, he says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The lesson did not end with the calming of the elements. He proved he could do that. But the true danger is not in the winds and in the waves. The true danger is in their disbelief. So Jesus says, now that I've dealt with the meteorology, the harm, and the squalls, now I got to deal with your minds, your heart, and your spirit. I need you to know to not fear in the midst of any storm. And that's the lesson then and the lesson now. It does not matter what you see, but it matters who you know. Because you're going to see a lot of things in your faith. You're going to see hard times. You're going to see difficult health. You're going to see the death of loved ones. You're going to see layoffs. You're going to see marital difficulties. You're going to see the world going from bad to worse. But the question is, who do you know? Because who do you know changes what you actually see. See, the mature Christian stops saying, and stop asking the Lord to change situations. But you start asking God to change you in the midst of your situations. When you get to the point of saying, Lord, I'm not even asking you to take the storm away. Don't even change the storm, but change me because of the storm. Because storms have purposes. God is trying to make you stronger. You got time for this? Whenever you see a storm or a hurricane and it takes something out, they have to do what? Rebuild. But they rebuild it to tougher standards because they say the storm that took this building out before will never take it out again. Sometimes God allows you to go through things, go through storms, go through heartache, go through heartbreak. He allows things to take everything seemingly that you have. And sometimes God will take everything that you have so you can understand who you really have. And what you rebuild after the storm will be stronger than it was before the storm. That's why your marriage has storms. That's why your money has storms. That's why your person has storms. That's why your health has storms. So now next time, you will know how to deal with the storm. The anatomy, the actuality, and the necessity of a storm. The anatomy, the actuality, and the necessity of a storm. Let me tell you some things. I'm having too much fun tonight. The anatomy of a storm is that storms always come when things seem to be the most beautiful. See, this is true in nature as well as in life. Storms always come when things appear to be the most beautiful. Why? Because the devil doesn't want to see you happy. That's why you say, man, things are finally getting better. And then, storms, point two, may seem fierce, but they never last long. If I could preach like I wanted to, I'll quote Psalm 30 and 5. The fact that this only endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes, point three, it's hard to rebuild after a storm. But what's built after a storm is stronger than it was before the storm. Know the signs of a storm, Kingston. Thunder always comes before lightning. Take cover and let the storm and or the Lord have its way. See, sometimes you want to fight the storm. Sometimes the storm really has to have its way in your life because God is trying to shake something and sift something out of your existence. Storms are usually forecasted worse than they actually are. It's never as bad as it seems or as bad as you think it's going to be. Now, I know in Kingston you don't have snow. I live in Ohio. We have snow. We have ice. And what happens is the night before, the news media loves to exaggerate everything. They make you feel this is going to be an Armageddon of snow. It's the last snowfall you're ever going to have. We see the same thing with hurricanes, don't we? We see the same thing with rain and rain amounts, don't we? The news will tell you this is the last of the last. Prepare. And people go down to the store and buy all the bread and all the milk and all the cheese and all the gas runs out. And then the storm comes and nothing happens. You ever been there? There's minimal damage. Just some leaves on the ground. And now everybody has all these loaves of bread and all these gallons of water. Why? Because storms are always forecasted worse than they are. The devil does that too. You ever had the devil whisper in your ear? Oh, you're not going to make it this time. You're not going to survive this. Oh, this is the big one. And you believe him too, don't you? You nod your head. Then when it's over and God has done his business, you say, man, I'm still standing and I'm still strong. It wasn't that bad. That's how storms are. Do not become paralyzed with fear. The actuality of a storm is that storms will come. I didn't come 1,500 miles to lie to you. Storms will come. Here's the question. What will you do when storms come? Will you run away? And if you run away, you'll never learn anything. Number two, will you ignore them? If you ignore the storms, you'll never grow. Or will you, number three, sit tight, pull out your umbrella, His name is Jesus, and ride that thing out. Can you get to a point of Christian maturity when somebody says, man, what's going on in your life today? Well, I'm just riding through a storm, but it's all right because I got my umbrella. Now, I know how we like to do in the church. Say amen. Everybody want to shake hands and be friendly and smile all the time. I'm too hopeful to be mopeful. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Sometimes it's okay to say, man, I'm going through right now. It's hard right now. My marriage is difficult right now. I'm struggling with my money right now. I'm struggling with my self-esteem right now. I'm struggling with depression right now. I long for the day that we can really be the church and be true and transparent with ourselves. Is this all right for you tonight? See, storms will come. You can't run away. You can't ignore them. Because what you ignore today will come back tomorrow. And it'll come back bigger than it was yesterday because you didn't deal with it with God on your side. So now the fact of the matter is we must sit tight, pull out umbrella, and ride that thing out. And the truth of the matter is you can't do nothing but ride out a storm anyway because God is in total control. You can do nothing but wait on him. So don't kill yourself trying to do what you can't do and trying to get what you ain't got. Don't kill yourself trying to do what you can't do or trying to get what you ain't got. Can I tell you a true story real quick? I know nobody in here has never struggled with money. Nobody in here has ever struggled with money. Just say amen when you can. Y'all would say okay. Anybody who struggled with money before, say amen. Oh, there's the church. So, Brother Mitchell, that was a time in my life. It was called yesterday. Say amen when you can. That was a time in my life in particular, many, many years ago. And I don't have debt collectors in Jamaica. Do they call y'all too? So my wife and I, we were younger then. We were away, and we were on vacation, and they called me, and I knew it was something weird because it was one of those funny numbers. A number I ain't never called me before. An area code I've never been. It was in Utah. I've never been to Utah. They called me, and they begin by saying, this is an attempt to collect a debt. Am I speaking with Jeremy Flowers? Yes, you're talking to Jeremy Flowers. They said, well, you owe us some money. I said, hold on now. I owe a lot of people money, but I don't owe you any money. I give everybody just a little bit a month. Say amen when you can. I don't owe you any money. I said, yes, you do. You owe us money in 2006 when you were in Terrell, Texas. At this point, I had been 10 years removed from college, but they said when you were in college in Terrell, Texas, you went to the emergency room. I said, yes, I went to the emergency room. And you owe us this much money. I said, well, no, I paid that bill. They said, no, you paid the hospital. This bill is for the doctor. Do I have a church in here? The hospital doesn't even exist anymore. They said, you owe the doctor. I said, well, how much do I owe you? They said, well, you owe us this much. I said, well, I ain't got that. And being ignorant, they asked the question, Brother Mitchell, when will you have it? I don't know when I'm going to have it. I don't have it now, and I don't think I'm going to have it later. And you know how bill collectors do? They keep asking you the same question a different way. What will you have it next Friday? Look here, you're not hearing me properly. I don't have it today. I probably won't have it next Friday. Well, how do you want to pay it? By check, by cash, or by credit card? Look here, man, I don't have it in check. I don't have it in credit card. I don't have it in cash. I don't have it on Sam I Am. I don't have it in Cat in the Hat. Say amen when you can. I don't have it. They said, well, you know, if you don't pay it, they're going to put it on your credit. I said, well, how long ago was it? It says it happened 10 years ago. I said, well, is it already on my credit? They said, yes, it's already on your credit. Then I said, what you calling me for? Everything you could have done, you have already done. Hang up the phone. At this point, I bought a house. I bought a car. Everything I needed to get, I've gotten with this debt. I'm not telling you don't pay your debts. But I'm telling you, don't stress out about something you can't control. Don't try to do what you can't do. And don't try to get what you can't get. The storms of life will choke you and have you try to do things that are outside of your control. And that's in times when we must submit to God, because God will make sure that we have everything that we need and even some of the things that we want. Stop stressing about things that you can't control. Let me close this thing. The necessity of a storm was for the benefit of the disciples then and now. The storms of our life that happened then, in fact, do happen now. Because without a storm, we don't know how strong something really is. You think you got a good roof until it rains. Think you're a good parent until it storms. Think you have a good relationship until. Think you have a good job. All the degrees in the world will not keep you employed. You'll find that out in a storm. Storms are necessary so you can see how strong a thing really is. You thought you had a good friend until storms came. I'm thankful for storms. Storms strengthen me. Storms identify me. But also storms identify my Savior and draws me closer to Him. Anybody ever been through a storm? I hope tonight you figured out your umbrella. Come to Jesus tonight. Stay in Jesus forever. This will not be a crystal stair. This ride sometimes will become turbulent, but stay in the boat, because that's where Jesus is. Let's be standing and not singing. Let's be standing and not singing. I ain't finished, but I'm through. I want you to come back on tomorrow night and come back on Thursday night, so I'm not going to keep you all night today. But I want you to come to Jesus and or be reaffirmed to Jesus even on tonight. Somebody here is dealing with the storms of life. And I'm here to tell you, we're all going to deal with a storm. The question is, have you come to receive the umbrella of life, and His name is Jesus Christ? It's hard enough to go through life and go through a storm with Jesus as our umbrella. I feel bad for you if you're going through the rain, umbrella-less. If perchance you're not a child of God, not a baptized believer, not a member of the body of Christ, you can become one on tonight. You can receive Christ into your life, Christ into your heart, Christ into your spirit, Christ into your soul, Christ into your metaphorical boat. You receive an umbrella to where you still walk in the rain, but you won't have to deal with the rain. Will you receive Jesus on tonight? How do I receive Him? You must first hear the word of God. You've heard me. I'm loud enough. Here's the question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a Son of God? It's a yes or no question. See, Marshall Keeble once said, and it's so true, you don't have to be intelligent to obey the gospel. You just have to be honest. Are you honest with the fact that you need the Lord? Are you honest with the fact that you can't do it by yourself? Are you honest with the fact that you need protection and direction? Are you honest with the fact that Jesus Christ can be yours on tonight? If so, why won't you come to Him? So I ask you the question again. Man, woman, boy, girl, short, tall, rich, poor, black, white, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes or no question? The answer is yes. Here's what you must do. You must repent of your sins. You must confess that He is. You must be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit of God and remain faithful unto death. We'll baptize you tonight. The water is ready. The brethren are ready. The question is, are you ready? It's only one question. Everybody has to answer right now. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you can say yes and you've not submitted yourself to Christ, do so tonight. Tonight is the night. You are too close to leave this tent where you may be forever away. You're just a few steps to your future, a few steps to your salvation, a few steps to Jesus Himself. Will you not take those steps? Will you not raise your hand? Somebody will guide you those few steps. Life is too short. Eternity is too long. And hell is too hot for you to continue thinking about a thing when you've already made your decision. You're standing to make it easier on yourself. If you know you need Jesus, will you come? If perchance you are a child of God, you are a baptized believer, but you're struggling. If you're struggling, that's okay. Why? Because everybody in here is struggling. Will you come to the Savior and say, Lord, I need your help. Church, I need your prayers. Will you come and say, you know what? I can't do it by myself. I barely made it to the tent tonight. Life is hard. And I'm tired of being fake and putting on a facade. Life is hard. Will you come and do that tonight? Are you trusting God enough to where you stop worrying about what people say? See, I stopped worrying about what people say a long time ago. I don't care what you think about me. Well, I don't know why she can't handle that, because it ain't for you. If you went through what I'm going through, it'll kill you, but God has chosen to place it on me, and I need his help. If you need the help of God, the prayers of the church, want to repent of sin, will you walk down these aisles? Want to be baptized tonight? I don't care if you're 9 or 90. Will you come on tonight? Come right now. I say this every Sunday at Gray Road. I'll say it tonight. It makes no sense to live in hell and then die and go to hell. Will you come? Right now. As we sing the song of invitation.
3:3 He knows just what I need. 3:3:3 My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain, he sees each tear, he understands each lonely heartache, he understands because he cares. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He
You may be seated.
His voice and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need.
It is often the case where a person is ill and doesn't know that he is ill. And so it is that there are so many men and women who are in desperate need for Jesus Christ and don't recognize how much they need Jesus Christ. It is just and wise, in fact, it is foolish to go through this life alone. Keep in mind, it matters not how large a family we come from. It matters not how many friends we have. We need Jesus Christ. The Almighty God has said this in his word. O Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own step. Jeremiah 23:10. Here you have the Almighty God telling us that we do not know how to go as we go through this life. We need God in our lives. Remember, education does not replace God. Our money does not replace God. Our social or political association or standing
they do not replace God. You need Jesus Christ now. And you know what? He has given you tonight. He has promised to none of us tomorrow. But God has given us this moment. Brother Flowers, great lesson. Amen. You need Jesus Christ. We need that umbrella as we go through life. As we sing another verse of this song, your common sense, your conscience, your intelligence is saying, respond to Jesus Christ now. As we sing, Christ calls.
My Jesus knows when I am burdened. He knows how much my heart can bear. He lifts me up when I am sinking and brings me joy beyond compare. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, He knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, He knows just what